First of all, then, thinking about this journey to Emmaus, I want to see what was on the minds of these two people. And we find that out in verses 13 and 14. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Now, what had happened? That is, what were they talking about? Well, they were talking about the trial, the arrest, the crucifixion of Jesus, and all the events surrounding that. It becomes apparent in a few moments that they had also heard the prophecy of his resurrection. So they were talking about this idea that this man executed as a criminal, that he was going to rise from the dead. This was the kind of theme that was on their minds. And it says in verse 17, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. So it's not just a matter of chatting about something they've heard about, which doesn't really matter anyway. It's something that's important to them because they're sad. And I hope that these things are important to you and me, enough to stir our feelings. Now that was verses 17 and beginning on to 18 and so on. "Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people.'" So they're thinking about Jesus. I hope that's what you've come here tonight to do, to think about Jesus. And they're aware of his teaching because they say he was mighty in word. And they're aware of his deeds because they were also saying here that he was mighty indeed before God. So his words and his deeds. "And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." That is the sort of thing that you and I need to be talking about and thinking about, that they were talking about and thinking about. They didn't understand all of this, and maybe you don't. And I'm sure I don't understand all of it. Indeed, I sometimes preach a sermon in which I say, I may even have preached on that theme here. We can't understand everything that happened at that first Easter. But we can believe it and we can trust it. We can benefit from it eternally. Now, when you get back to verse 15, you will find that Jesus was not really a stranger to them. They were talking and discussing together. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Now, the reason they didn't recognize him wasn't because they'd never seen him. Their eyes were kept from it. In some way, God prevented them so that the conversation could unfold and they could receive this teaching from actually recognizing this man whom they had actually in some way experienced in word and deed and heard about in the past. Whether they'd seen his works of mighty power or what they'd heard him say, we don't know. Jesus was not a total stranger to them, and I know that there's no one here tonight to whom Jesus is a total stranger. You wouldn't be here. And I've seen you enough times and heard you either share your thoughts from the front or sing the hymns or hear the scriptures preached. But their faith was in ruins. Look at verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped. They couldn't really continue hoping. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since this happened. So they've heard about the resurrection in advance. They've heard about it being predicted. But they didn't know it's happened. So they haven't got that faith either. They had hoped. And now the third day's come, and as far as they know, it's not happened, and they are sad, as it said in verse 17. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So their faith is in ruins. They had hoped. And I suppose they'd hoped that he really would rise from the dead, but they hadn't heard that it had happened, so they didn't know that even. And you get times, possibly in your own life, possibly in the lives of other Christians that you've known, and their faith, your faith, our faith, begins to crumble. And we feel as if we could say like they do, we had hoped. Thinking about Jesus, feeling about Jesus, he's important to us. He's not a stranger, but our faith is in ruins. I wonder if you sometimes think, I keep hearing about the gospel week after week from the pulpit at Bethel and other places. I wish it was true, or I wish I could believe it. I find if I get doubts afflicting me, they tend to afflict me worse at about 2 a.m. If I wake up in the small hours and it's dark and I'm half asleep, I think, is there really a God? Is the gospel really true? Well, I don't usually doubt that there's a God, and I don't usually doubt that the gospel is true. What I tend to think is, can I really be a Christian myself? When I look at the things I've done that have gone wrong, or the things that I've done wrong myself, and I let God down, and I think, oh dear, when I think, you read all these glorious stories about people who are filled with the Holy Ghost, and they got so much joy, they don't know what to do with themselves, they can't contain it. They say, oh Lord, don't give me any more joy, or I'll burst, I just can't contain it. And then I've had these wonderful experiences, they then go out, and they become mighty evangelists, and they lead people to Christ, and they become wonderful missionaries, and they go off and open some mission field, and the natives start believing. And then you look at yourself, and you think, have I really become a child of God? Well, something like that had happened to these people. Not exactly the same, of course, because they lived before the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. In that sense, the founding of the church. But their faith was in ruins. I know that I've told you this before, and I'll probably tell you many times, but I have read Tolkien's book, The Lord of the Rings, 7 times, I think, and I absolutely love it. I have to leave 5 years now between readings so that some of it comes fresh to me. A wonderful story, but this, he was a devout Roman Catholic. And this is what he says, not about his own book, The Lord of the Rings, but this is what Tolkien said about the gospel of Jesus Christ, as he understood it. This story, that's the story of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to glory. This story begins and ends in joy. It has preeminently the inner consistency of reality. There is no tale ever told that men would rather find was true, and none which so many sceptical men have accepted as true on its own merits. To reject it leads either to sadness or to wrath. We wish it was true. They wished it was true. And what they can still cling to is some of these things we had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And that's in verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They haven't quite lost this hope that maybe he really will rise from the dead. Because it is the third day. It's supposed to have happened. We haven't heard of it happening. There's been no great flash across the sky or anything. No report. But it's not quite dark yet. The day's not finished. Maybe, just maybe, we can hang on to that for a little bit longer. Because the resurrection is predicted in Luke 9 and Luke 18. But the unknown Christ, unknown to them at that time, is actually with them. Look at verse 15. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And I sometimes think that there may be people in this chapel tonight. There are people to whom Jesus is important. They wish it was true. They're finding it hard to hold on to their faith. Perhaps the faith they once had is beginning to crumble or is even already in ruins. And yet Jesus is still with them. And Jesus, in that way, would still be with you. And we praise him for that. Verse 25, and he said to them, "Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But they didn't understand, did they? Not yet. They didn't come to a full understanding, but he did that for them. And as he was speaking to them in that way, look what they say a few verses later. "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And I'm sure there are people who hear the scriptures preached and who read the Bible for themselves, and they say, "This is powerful, this is real. This has got God in it, this has got eternal life in it. These are the words of eternal life. But I don't understand it. I can't somehow see why it is that that death can have been for me and for my sins." Their hearts burned within them, but they didn't manage to understand it. But they still welcomed him, didn't they? In verse 28, they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." They welcomed Jesus before they even really understood. And then we get to this wonderful story in verses 30, 31, and so on. "When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight." And verse 35, then they told — this is when they went back to Jerusalem to the other disciples that they found there — then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. How he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Ar oeddent wedi adnabod eif ar doriad y bara. Now, the churches of Christ believe that the breaking of bread is a sacrament. But a sacrament is not just a symbol to remind you. A sacrament is something which contains the blessing of God, that the blessing of God flows through it. If you come with faith, if you come sorry for your sin and believing in Jesus and searching Jesus with a pure heart, then it's made into a sacrament. It is something that the Lord has appointed through which real blessing flows. And I believe that if you and I come to the table in that attitude, there is a blessing that will flow to us. And I don't think it is withheld from people who have a different theology of the table, because I think it is in the act itself that God blesses those who come. It's not in any way a sort of magic. If we came thinking it was magic, that it would just happen anyway, whatever our hearts were like, however sinful and far from God and uncaring we were, then that is partaking unworthily. That would be just regarding it as some magical thing, which happens anyway. It's not. But God blesses those who come in humility and in seeking him. And these people didn't understand the faith fully, but he was made known to them, breaking of bread. And I have prayed that as we come tonight to the table, that he will be known to us in the breaking of bread, that something there will bring a blessing from God that will make Jesus more real and more personal and more precious to us. Verse 31 then tells us that their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished out of their sight. We cannot see him. We will never see him until that last trumpet sounds and he appears in the clouds and the dead in Christ rise and we meet him in the air. Then we will see him face to face. We won't see him before, but we can be like these, believing in him and knowing him, even though he vanishes from our sight. And the next thing they did, verse 33, they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered there, and those who were with them, who said, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. As soon as Jesus became so real to them, they started talking about him to other people. And that also is something I believe that you and I will spontaneously want to do. If we love Jesus, we will want to tell others about him.